Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheap Seats Chatter, the only baseball podcast for your listening ears. I am Alex. I am your host for tonight's podcast. Joined, as always, we have the insurmountable, the incredible Ryan Splash Potts and Matthias Altman Kurosaki. As we start every podcast, my main man, how are we doing today?
Hello friends, not Jim Nance here. I'd like to apologize for delaying our recording. We just collectively watched Bobby Wagner just totally deck a streaker during Monday Night Football. So we got a solid, 2 hours of laughter there. So, yeah, good job, Bobby Wagner, Seahawks legend. Also should have been a Ravens legend, but I'm sad.
Same.
I'm doing a lot better today than I was this weekend. This weekend in the sports world probably could not have gone any worse for me. My saving grace is the Syracuse Orange being ranked in the AP poll. Of course, this is happening the year after I was at Syracuse. So, yeah, that's my one saving grace. Everything else in the sports world, in my sports world, went pretty poorly. So, there's that. But I'm doing all right today. It rained a lot today, though. That was kind of rough. I was back working. That was fine. But I'm doing all right today. I almost lost my AirPods case on the bus until I got on the exact same bus going home and saw my AirPods case right there where I was sitting. So yeah, that's how I'm doing these days.
I mean, you didn't technically lose it if you found it at that point, but fair enough. I'll also call BS a little bit on the rankings for college football, as my WSU Cougs need to be in there after a very good 3-1 record at the moment. Thank you very much. And beating a top 10 team. Also, thank you kindly. But for anyone who has watched the show for at least 13 milliseconds, you know that I am a fan of the Seattle Mariners. I've been a fan since I was a baby, and I am still a fan today. We've been through the Sean Figgins eras. We have been through the Ryan Langerhans eras. We've been through all of these different eras that, let's just be honest, they were gut punches. For 21 years, not one playoff appearance. Not one. The longest drought in North American professional sports in the four major sports. This year, something magical has happened. The baseball gods came together and said, it's time to end the drought. And on September 30th, in a game tied at 1-1 between the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners, with nobody on base, two outs, and a 3-2 count, on pinch hitting Cal Raleigh. Pinch hitting for, mind you, Luis Torrens, who was one of the only people to get a hit in the game. Something beautiful has happened. And I would like to Mariner broadcaster Dave Sims. My friends, enjoy. Pitch from Acevedo. As well, Mike Blowers on that call as well. But after 21 years, a drought that at the beginning of the season, at the offseason of 2021, Mitch Haniger vowed to end and did not said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The drought is finally over. The Seattle Mariners have clinched a playoff spot for the first time since September 17th, I believe, of 2001. I'm giving a pregnant pause there because I was there at that game. I had a feeling that Friday was going to be the day, and I'm never been so happy to be right. But as a fan for 28 years, I've been a fan since I came out of the womb. There's still videos and pictures of me at, you know, not even 1 year old watching ball games in the lap of my mom and all that. We've gone through so many different eras of this team, but yet not one playoff berth. And to be there in person and watch Cal Raleigh hit that home run. Of course it's Cal Raleigh. Of course it is Cal Raleigh. And I'm so happy about that. He has been one of the guys that we've given so much propaganda to on this show. And for very obvious reasons, the big dumper has done it. He has sent the Mariners to the promised land. And yet, while it's not over, the dream of a World Series still looms large. Being able to just go to the playoffs to end this 21-year drought, it still feels kind of like a fever dream. Before I go on further, I want to get your guys' takes here. How did you react when you saw what happened? Do you think that the Mariners are going to be a threat in the playoffs? Guys, I just want to get your guys' takes on this.
So when Raleigh hit the home run, I was in a Mets space. Friday night, right? I was in a Mets space. The Braves had just beaten the Mets. We're arguing back and forth with all these Mets fans, like 300 of them, right? And as soon as I'm done with my piece, I get a notification and it's, you know, Mariner Magic or whatever it ended up being from MLB, the MLB account. And I saw a Cal Raleigh 26th home run from MLB home runs. And I just kind of paused and like, this happened. Like, this is a thing. When the Mariners last made the playoffs, I was 6 months old. Good old 6 months old. I'm a college graduate now. So sorry, Alex, for making you feel old there. But that's a special moment. I think you're going to hang that one with the Evan Longoria home run against the Yankees back in, 2011? That is one of the most important regular season home runs ever. And you can say, oh, well, the Mariners had 17 million chances to clinch or whatever. And yeah, you're right. But that moment for that city, a baseball-starved city, a city that had not seen a playoff game in 2 decades, a drought, the longest playoff drought in the big four North American sports, 21 years, ends. Cal Raleigh yanks one off the windows in right field. A glorious moment. So congratulations, Alex. And congratulations to the Seattle Mariners. And of course, congratulations to all three of us for correctly predicting the Mariners to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, this has been 21 years in the making. I mean, you literally could not script that any better. Cal Raleigh, fan favorite. I mean, you guys remember back in May when Cal was briefly sent to the minors and he's now leading all catchers in home runs. And I mean, he's been battling that thumb injury. He comes off the bench to pinch hit. I mean, literally, it's the first time something like this has happened where someone has hit a pinch hit walk-off home run to clinch a postseason berth. And he absolutely crushed that pitch. I mean, that is a fairy tale ending right there. That video gave me chills. I'll be completely honest, though, and I'm really mad at myself for this. I fell asleep before it happened, and I feel like a complete idiot now. All right, I had been out that night. I went to watch the Mets game. I was very, very tired. So I fell asleep because I fully expected that game to go to extra innings. I had no idea that Cal was pinching, if I'm being honest. I saw end of eighth inning. I was like, all right, I'm going to bed because I'm way too tired right now. So I went to bed and I wake up and the first thing I see is everything that happened. And wow, this what a moment. What a moment for the Mariners. What a moment for the city of Seattle. And I'm really, really excited that they're in the postseason. You know, I know Splash said he was only 6 months old. I was 18 months old when the Mariners last played in the playoffs. So I have no recollection of them being in the playoffs. I've seen them. I saw them play Kyle Seager's rookie year when he was playing shortstop, you know, when Ichiro was the only recognizable name in that lineup. I think Mike Karp was batting cleanup. You know, they had Trayvon Robinson in the starting lineup. They were like all these players who like nobody else other than Mariner fans know. And to see that here we are, the Mariners have a lot of well-known players, I would say now. You know, you have the Rodriguez of the world, you know, Suarez, you know. I'm just so happy for these guys. And I think they can be a threat in the playoffs. And I'm excited to see how they do.
I was there at that game, like I said. We got tickets very last minute. We were in row 2 of section, I think it was 118, I believe. It was right along the first baseline. And to watch that home run, to watch that ball just fly off of Raleigh's bat, my only thought was, stay fair! Stay fair! And I think that with how hard he hit that ball, everyone knew it had the distance. But I think the entire city of Seattle collectively got behind that ball and like blew air at it to make sure it stayed fair. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I have watched that video of the home run probably close to a few hundred times at this point. I mean, like you said, Splash, this is one of the most important home runs in regular season history in my book, just because of what it did. The fact that it did end a 21-year playoff drought. I think Seattle will be a threat in the playoffs, but right now, that's not where my headspace is at. Right now, where my headspace is still on the fact that it's like it's an anime arc right now, at this point right now. This is 21 years. Like, this is something you talk about. I have a D&D session that they said it was an endless drought. How long was the drought? 15 years. I'm like, why is the Mariners drought longer than that? No, it's, as a fan, it's almost impossible to talk about it. Almost impossible to fully examine what happened just because it was so incredible. The only person I think that could have made it a little bit more storybook would be Mitch Haniger, just because he's the one who wrote the article. But other than that, I think Cal Raleigh was the number one person I would have wanted to hit that home run. Him or Julio, I guess, but Julio was injured. So I am so happy for Seattle. I am so happy for the city that finally got behind this team. One thing, I found a fun little stat, and again, my numbers are probably going to be slightly off on this, but in 2021, the average fan attendance of the Seattle Mariners games, I believe it was about 15,000. That was that average attendance per game. And it definitely grew as the season went on, obviously, but that was the average. In 2022, the average fan attendance for every game was 28,000. It went up by almost double because of how much the city realized how close they truly were and how much this looked finally real. The entire city has gotten nothing but gut punches for 20 years to the point where, again, the only thing they'll latch onto is football, because the Seahawks actually won a Super Bowl. Like, and then almost won another one, if not for circumstances, not talking about that. But I do think that overall, for right now, I am just so happy right now to be a fan. I am so happy just seeing this live. I know I'm repeating myself a lot, and I apologize for that. There are so many emotions that go with this, because it's been 20 years, not just of gut punches, but it's been 20 years of hearing same old Mariners. 20 years of hearing people say, why are you rooting for the losing team? 20 years of saying, of having that hope and having that hope just slowly flushed out of you. That finally now you can say it. And I'm actually currently wearing my postseason 2022 Mariner hat because I will not take any of your foolishness to say not to. This is the year. This is a year that we can finally say that we can finally get rid of the saying, same old Mariners, please. Can we please get rid of that saying now? I'm getting a little bit angry on this. Feel free to jump in if you guys have anything else you want to say on this. I'm just being that very, very happy fan, kind of venting on air at the moment.
Yeah, it's a special time. 21 years. Like you said at the beginning of the season, someone could have been born.
Right, that's what
Did it work out that someone could have been born?
Yes.
The last time the Mariners had already clinched the playoffs in 2001 and would be able to drink at that game to see them make the playoffs next.
That was actually a tweet that I sent out a little bit just before that game, actually, to read my exact tweet out. Let's see here. I tweeted out earlier. You can follow me at thesportsguy242 on Twitter. Today has the makings of being historic for the Mariner franchise. To make it clear how long this drought was, if a child was born the last time the Mariners clinched a playoff berth, that adult could now legally have a beer watching the team clinch this berth. One, that's sad, but two, yes. And I'd add on one little thing to what you said, to what you both said. The last time that the Mariners clinched, you guys were not even two yet. At that point, one or two yet. I was seven. I think that shows the kind of age gap we're working with here now. But anyway, yeah, I'm sorry I interrupted you, Splash. Go for it.
Oh, no worries. You know, I remember playing MLB Power Pros as a kid, and it's Ichiro and Jose Vidro and Willie Bloomquist and King Felix, Braves legend King Felix, Kenji Jojima, Richie Sexton, Adrian Beltre, you know, the likes, and Alex is nodding along with all the legendary Mariner names. And it's surreal to see how they made the playoffs. And, you know, you have a really exciting team, and you have, you know, a guy who's being compared to Ronald Acuna in Julio Rodriguez, and you have Big Dumper, which is a top five nickname in the sport. I will not take any slander on that one. And you have Luis Castillo on the mound. You have Robbie Ray, Cy Young winner last year. You have Gilbert and I'm totally blanking on the fourth guy. Oh, George Kirby. And you have just this conglomeration of talent, and it's talent. It's not just names anymore. It's some of the better players in baseball. And in a case like Julio, one of the best players in baseball, a guy that is having an all-time rookie season, a guy who is having a 2020 season, which not many rookies have. That's a Trout did that. I think Harper did that. You know, there's just not many guys hit that milestone or all-stars, five WAR seasons as rookies. And it's just, it finally happened. And I'm very glad it happened. I'm very glad I predicted it to happen. I wish I had put a futures bet on that, but I only made one playoff prediction future, which I will reveal in a couple minutes.
Yeah, and I decided, you know, why not go back and see. You know, the first time I saw the Mariners play live in person, which was in 2011 in Cleveland, and their lineup literally was Ichiro at DH, Franklin Gutierrez at center field, Dustin Ackley at second base, Mike Karp at first, Casper Wells in right, Adam Kennedy at third base, Miguel Olivo at catcher, Kyle Seager at shortstop, and Trayvon Robinson in left field. And their starting pitcher that day was Blake Bevin. So,
oh, that's God, how, please stop. You're just hurting my head, Mac.
That's
oh,
my how God. Far we've come in history, is that the Mariners have just done a complete 180 on that. And I can't say enough good things about this team. They've been so incredibly fun to watch. I remember they when they had that rough stretch back at the beginning of the year and people started to give up on them all, and it was, I just had a feeling that they were too talented to just fold, and they finally come through. You know, I feel like there have been a couple other years where I picked them to make the playoffs and they haven't come through. But then this year, we all picked the Mariners to make the playoffs, and well, they're in the playoffs. So there you go.
There you go. I mean, so like I said, I was there at that game, and one of the things that was incredible about it is that people didn't leave when that game was over. No one left that game when that game was over. Everyone was dancing. Everyone was still screaming. Everyone was partying. We watched as the players went into the clubhouse that were popping champagne, which was something that I was personally really looking forward to. But it was really cool, which, by the way, hearing everyone talk during those interviews, because I did some interviews during that, obviously. And also just watch, one of the best parts of it was Cal Raleigh getting interviewed by Angie Mentink. And I think it was Carlos Santana came behind him and just during his interview just kept pouring champagne on him. And it was the funniest thing because Cal had this huge smile about him. He's a man of not many words. He does not need to say a whole lot. But just seeing that smile of his was so wholesome and pure. I loved it. I loved every second of it. One thing I do want to bring up, though, in those interviews, Mitch Haniger did not pull any punches either, as he outright said, there are people that deserve to be here that are not. And he brought up two names, first of which Kyle Seager, the second is Braves legend Felix Hernandez. And I hate myself for saying that real quick. I need to like scrub my mouth after saying that phrase. But yeah, because there's still a lot of anger about what happened last off back in, what was it? 20, yeah, in 2021, when it came to Seager, when it came to the trade that happened at the midway point that got them Abraham Toro, and giving away Kendall Graveman, who has now kind of fallen off the face of the planet. but you know what? That's the other thing they all brought up is that, you know what? Hey, we love that we're here. We love that we ended this drought, but there's more work to do. We're not done yet. And that was one other thing that was really fun is that afterwards, I don't think a lot of people saw that. Some of them might have. After the whole celebration, Scott Service came out to address everyone, and he gave a serviceable WWE promo, to borrow a quote from a friend of mine. But no, it was, as he was like, I will never understand this, but I'm so happy it happened. All he did is he just on one of the parts was just go big dumper, and everyone cheered. Like, there was a cheer for I'm going to say a solid 2 minutes of just after him yelling big dumper. And, but then he actually gave a pretty nice little speech to everyone, saying a thank you to everyone, and then saying, we're not done yet. And I'm like, oh, that's good. I love listening to Service talk. He's such a good boy. But, the other thing with it that was also fun is that afterwards, like some people started to leave at some points because there was actually a fireworks show after the game. Like, no one remembers, like, I didn't remember that part, but apparently, yeah, after all the celebration, they finally did the fireworks show that was scheduled to be like, you know, 10 minutes after the game. It ended up happening, I think, an hour and a half afterwards. But the people just kind of started coming down, and then they started, the one thing I wish they would have done is done like the pop of champagne into the stands and all that kind of stuff. But just seeing these players react, seeing how everyone was reacted to the fact that, you know, this drought was over. I'm going to bring up two people real quick. I know we spent a lot of time on, I feel like it's been 21 years. Let me have this. Eugenio Suarez did one of the most wholesome things I've ever seen. Where one of the first things he did once he got out onto the field after the clinch, after like the whole champagne bit and all that, is he was playing with his daughters. Just out in the field, just playing. And it was one of the cutest things I've seen. And then the second bit is that almost every single one of those then took a full lap around the stadium, high-fiving fans. And just see how much that this team also about the fans and cares about how much they've actually done for this team and how much they've gone through for this team. It's really good to see. I'm so excited that on the 7th, I'm going to turn on my TV and I'm going to see the Seattle Mariners in the American League wildcard series, in these wildcard games. I'm going to be able to turn my TV on in October during the playoffs and see the Seattle Mariners playing ball. With that being said, I think it's time to move on to our next topic. Thank you so much to everyone for indulging me on this. Will this be the last time we talk Mariners? Hell to the no! I'm still going to make rants about this, but we do need to get going because we do want to keep to our normal time limits. We're going to move on now. We've talked about my division. Let's talk about your guys' division, the NL East. And this has been, I feel like you guys can't see this, obviously, but there were two reactions when I said that. There was Splash, who laughing and smiling a lot, and there was Mac, who immediately just started freaking out and is now looking at his phone. So, guys, I think we all know the story here. Right now, the Braves have the East. The Mets had it for most of the season. I'm going to let you guys take over on this bit here. Splash, how much, as the one that's leading the division, how about you start?
So, on June 1st, right around June 1st, I forget the exact date, the Braves were 10 and a half games behind the New York Metropolitans. From June 1st through today, the Mets have played to a 96-win pace. That's really good. That's, you know, one of the top five records in baseball, right? That's going to win the division most of the time. That's, you know, checking off every box you need to. Cohen, you know, great moves. You know, good season from Lindor. Alonso sets the franchise record for RBIs. 40-plus homers. Diaz. Just unreal. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, you know, Nimmo, solid season. Canna, solid season. Oh, I forgot to mention the Braves bit. The Braves played 114 win ball for 4 months. Let that sink in. 114 win ball. That would be more than the Dodgers have with 110. I don't know if they won today, but 110 wins the Dodgers have around there. The Braves played 114 win pace. They won the first 14 games of June, then lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs because it makes sense. And they kept winning. They beat the Astros, beat the Giants. You know, they're beating these teams. They took 2 series from the Mets. And they just keep winning and winning and winning. And, you know, Michael Harris develops into a guy that I believe deserves an MVP vote. Maybe not, obviously not first place, but he should be 9th or 10th on some ballots. Spencer Strider became a guy that I made a prediction on an app that I work for, U Stadium. I made a prediction he would get a Cy Young vote and I would shave my beard and adopt the Strider stash. Max Fried, Charlie Morton turned it around. Kyle Wright, the bullpen has been sensational at the deadline. Alex Anthopoulos made a trade. He sent Jesse Chavez and Tucker Davidson to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Angels of Anaheim, Angels of California, Angels of Anaheim. In exchange, he got Raisel Iglesias. Since then, Iglesias has an ERA closer to 0 than 1. Yes, that's below 0.5. He has allowed 1 earned run in about 25 innings pitched. And the bullpen is old Dylan Lee. Matzik is back. McHugh, even Kenley Jansen has 40 saves for some reason. And it's just everything you feel, the energy. Every time I watch a Braves game, it's like someone's going to come through in a big spot. Someone, you know, even if you're losing. The Braves trailed in all 3 games of the Mets series. They were down 1-0 in game 1 to Jacob DeGrom. They were down 1-0 in game 2 to Max Scherzer. And they were down 3-1 to Chris Bassett. 3-1. At the moment it all changed, I know the announcers beat this to death on the broadcast Sunday night, but Mark Canna hit a ground ball to Austin Riley, would have scored a run. Canna would have been on first. Maybe Vogelbach gets to third, but Austin Riley just lets it go. He doesn't have a play. He's not going to throw Cannon out. He's not going to throw the runner going home out. He lets it go. Bounces foul. Charlie Morton retired the next seven. The Braves took the lead the next inning and never let go. Another excellent performance from the bullpen. And from down 10 and a half games, sorry, Sal, from down 10 and a half games to up 1.5 with 5 available games left. The Braves have 2 against the Marlins. The Mets have 3 against the Nationals as of recording. The Braves have a magic number of 1, so they either need to split with the Marlins or have the Nationals take 1 out of 3 from the Metropolitans, and they will win their 5th consecutive NL East title and make me some moolah, because I did bet the future. I think it was +130 at the time on Atlanta. So chop on, go Braves.
So like I was saying earlier, how this weekend made me like hate sports. To recap, I'm just going to go team by team. So in football, the Steelers lost to the Jets. To be fair, I expected that. I mean, honestly. Fantasy football, I lost. Fantasy baseball, lost the championship to Alex. I know technically it's not over, but, like, it's over. And the Mets get swept by the Braves. And, honestly, I mean, here's the thing is that, yes, we – like, the Mets have been playing well. You know, there's really nothing you can do about the Braves playing 114 win pace from June 1st until October 1st. You know, there's literally nothing you can do about it. Like, I don't know what you can say. But what I can point out is that this team shot themselves in the foot by losing a series to the Nationals and getting swept by the Cubs. All right. You know, it is what it is, because around that, they played fine. You know, they went 6-1 against the Pirates. They played pretty well against the Marlins. They took the season series from the Dodgers. You know, they took 2 of 3 from the Brewers in Milwaukee. The Brewers had won 14 of the last 15 games between the Mets and Brewers in Milwaukee coming into this year. And the Mets went and took 2 of 3 there. I know DeGrom had the bad outing in Oakland, but, you know, they took 2 of 3 in Oakland. All this leads to this series where you are controlling your own destiny. And I don't know what happened. No. All right, game one. Here's the thing is, I don't think DeGrom pitched poorly in game one. He pitched through a blood blister, struck out 11, didn't walk any, only allowed 3 runs. Then again, he allowed 3 solo homers. And that is the big difference in this series, is the Braves were hitting homers. And this is a rarity, but I feel like this always happens. Some Brave does it against some Met. Dansby Swanson and Matt Olson both homered in all 3 games this weekend. And I know the Mets offense has been fine this year, but you can't have your biggest stars not show up, okay? This is, and as Splash said, it's the first time since 06 when Andrew Jones did that one weekend that a Brave had done that against the Mets. Of course, for reference, the other guys who had done it, so it was Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones, and Dale Murphy. I mean, does it surprise any of you that those guys were the ones who did it? All great hitters, all beat up on the Mets. Anyway, where I was is that they didn't get the job done. They didn't execute. Lindor went 2 for 13. Everyone other than Jeff McNeil didn't show up, it feels like. Francisco Alvarez, I appreciate that they called up Francisco Alvarez for the series. They should have called him up way before this series. I get he had the ankle injury, but they should have called him up earlier, because every level Francisco Alvarez has played at this year, he's had a bit of an adjustment period. He had no time to adjust. He gets thrust right into this series. You know, it's the biggest series of the year. What do you expect from him other than for him to go 0-for-8? I mean, really, I had no expectations for him. That's the thing. But just overall, very frustrating series. And the thing is, you'd think that these 3 games, the way the internet has talked about it, you think the Braves like blew them out like 13-3 in every single game. These were 3 close games. That's the thing. All very winnable. You know, heck, even in Friday night when it was 5-2, the Mets loaded the bases for 1 out. Of course, Tyler Naquin swung through a fastball down the middle to end it, because that's what he's been doing lately. I mean, do you know, Alex's team, the Mariners, has clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 21 years. They did not win the division, by the way. The Mets, who have 98 wins right now, are miserable. Their fans are miserable right now. And honestly, their game got rained out today. I fully expected them to get booed on their home field today. That's how poorly they played this weekend. I mean, it was just as ugly as the weather was today, that was just atrocious, really. Seriously. I mean, I don't know what else to say there. I mean, my question is, how did the Braves – okay, so the Braves scored one run on Wednesday night in Washington, D.C., in extra innings, in an extra inning game. They scored one run. They get home, and somehow they're teeing off on DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett. Like, wait, what? How did this happen? I mean, seriously, I'm at a loss for words as to what happened this weekend, really. It was really, really painful to watch as a Mets fan. I threw my phone after the last out last night. Like, that's just how things went. So one thing I will say, though, is that this goes for all Mets fans. Don't give up on this team, because I have seen it before where teams have supposedly tripped into the playoffs and then got on a run. And I'll reference a team that the Mets probably would have faced in the World Series. I mean, would have faced in the World Series, the 06 Tigers. For those who don't know, the 2006 Tigers had a 10.5 game lead on August 7th and a 5.5 game lead in the AL Central entering September. And they ended up going under 500 in September. Heck, they were under 500 in August too. And then they lost the division to the Twins, but then they steamrolled the Yankees and A's and made it to the World Series. Albeit then they had to wait all that time and lost to the Cardinals in the World Series. But, you know, the Mets also haven't, you know, they haven't had Starling Marte, which has really hurt them. So I think anything can happen in the playoffs. So I'm not saying to give up on the Mets, really. I think they are still a formidable team. I know if they get past the Padres, who I'm assuming they will face, I think they are a team that can take the Dodgers out. And then the one thing that we are all fearing right now as Mets fans is facing the Braves again in the playoffs. So if that happens, all hell will break loose. I, you know, as frustrating as that this weekend was, this team is did not win 98 games by accident. They, like, you just don't give up on them. I swear they will come through this postseason.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you in, like, the don't punt on the Mets. And I'm also a little terrified of a party like it's 1999 Mets Braves and another NLCS. Even though the Braves did win that series, but still, you don't want to face
Grand Slam single.
Yeah, and then series. Walk-off walk, because logic.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. I actually looked at the Game 6 rosters yesterday, and it's just like, this is Ozzie Guillen played in that game. Ricky Henderson played in that game. Like, it's like, what is going on here? But to touch on your Swanson, Olsen, Dansby had an OPS in around 640, I think, in August. Matt Olson, or in September. Matt Olson had a OPS below 600 in September. And they go ding dong, ding dong, ding dong off, you know, three of the better pitchers in the sport. One was off a reliever, but you get what I'm saying. Just the ability for these Braves to own the moment, not even, you know, be around the moment, just own the moment. And even if it's not, you know, even if it's not dominating at the plate, I don't remember Michael Harris getting a hit. Maybe he had one, but he decided to be, you know, prime Andrew Jones in center field for a little bit and robbed Brandon Nimmo, I think twice in the same game. And it was just a little thing. Other than Eddie Rosario needs to be sent to like a single A ball at this point. But anyways, just everything, I don't want to say everything went right, but everyone in the Braves locker room played a role in this comeback, whether it's an individual game, even an individual at bat, or the season as a whole. And you have Orlando Arcia coming in for Ozzie Albies when he breaks his foot in June, during the win streak, no less. Orlando Arcia is playing every day. Then you're trying out Robinson Cano, Mets legend Robinson Cano. You're trying out Phil Gosselin. You're trying out everything. And then you bring up Vaughn Grissom, and all of a sudden he's the best hitter in the world for 2 months, and then he stinks. So he's not in the lineup. Now it's back to Ozzie Albies. Oh, no, Ozzie Albies breaks his finger. So Orlando Arcia's back up. And then Riley had his big moments. He had some really nice defensive plays. I was petrified of the ball being hit to Austin Riley, because it's like, I know it's going to go over his glove. He's going to throw it past Olsen. Something's going to screw up. I was rooting for every single ground ball to go to Dansby Swanson because I trust him. And I know baseball is not a shortstop versus shortstop sport, but Dansby Swanson said hello on a big stage again. But what a series for him. Even defensively, too. He turned a double play. Orlando flipped it to him. Dansby just the tip of the toe on the bat. And I just felt like if Swagger had a picture in the dictionary, it would be Dansby Swanson right there. Just I don't think I've ever seen like an outburst like that from Dansby. And Dansby is a World Series champion. He is a guy that recorded the final out of the World Series for his hometown team. Well, not home area team. And here we go. Please beat the Marlins once and then focus on losing to the Cardinals.
Yeah, like you were saying, though, I was going to mention is how literally it felt like some of those big bats in the Braves lineup were slumping, and then they all of a sudden caught fire. It's like you literally can't script this stuff. Like, what other franchise this has happened to? People wonder, how in the world could you be a Mets fan? It's like, I honestly, like, it does build a lot of character because you go through all this stuff. You know, you have one of the best regular seasons in franchise history, and you're not even going to win the division. Like, this Mets team has won more games than they have in any other year in my lifetime. The most previously was in 06 when they won 97. And I think this year, this is a more complete team than the 06 team. And the 06 team was my favorite team. It's the team that made me fall in love with baseball. But like, I don't know how any of this stuff keeps happening. And look, I get it though. The Braves are a great team. And honestly, if there's one team in the National League I don't want to face, it's the Braves. I have more confidence that the Mets can beat the Dodgers than they can beat the Braves. So yeah, the Mets needed to win one game this weekend and they couldn't execute. I mean, what can I say? And of course, Travis d'Arnaud, who was cut by the Mets in 2019 because he had 6 years to develop and just never could stay healthy and productive at the same time. Of course, d'Arnaud came through with the big hit during the third inning yesterday. So that was a weekend to forget all around. I'm going to torture myself because I'm going to the Mets game tomorrow. So yeah, go me. I also already made plans to go see the Rutgers football game on Friday. So it looks like I'm missing the first playoff game. Whoops. All right. That's the end of my rant.
Beautiful. No, I mean, I don't have much more to add that you guys haven't already touched on. I think the main thing I'm going to add on is I want to direct us back to a conversation that we had not too long ago on the podcast, talking about how important it would be for the Mets to get that top spot, to have that bye week, and how much it would benefit the Braves to try and snag that from the Mets. And we're now, looks like we're probably going to end up seeing that. Yes, there's still, again, variations that show the Mets can still do it. But right now, I think the Braves taking over is really going to be what overall takes the Mets out of the World Series. I'm not going to say that's what's going to happen because I think the Mets are still a stupidly talented team. And I think that just as the Braves are a stupidly team. So it's a good, I think it's going to be really fun to watch again. If you guys do end up meeting in the NLCS, that is going to be a series to watch. To be fair, what I would honestly love to see is I would love to see the separate CSs being Mets and Braves, and then the ALCS have it be Mariners Astros. I just think that's a really good storybook at that point. But anyway,
I don't know if I could survive a Mets Braves NLCS. Just being honest.
It would just be the CSC championship series, but so it'd be the CSCS, no, CSCCS. There you go. Chiefs East Chatters championship series. Got it. Nailed it. All right. So We're nearing to the end of our podcast for today, and that means it's now time for us to do some trivia, and it is my turn to be the host for this. And I have just one question. I did not prep this with you guys before. I'm just curious. Have either of you guys played Mario Party 4? This is a weird question.
I believe I have.
Negative.
Okay. So, then Mac, have you ever played the game, the Bowser minigame Fruits of Doom, where it had all the fruits and they had all the names rush by really, really, really quickly, and you had to keep giving them fruits, keep giving Bowser fruits?
I think I have. I mean, that's the thing. It's been a while. That's the problem.
Got it. No worries. I bring that up for a specific reason, as that's how my trivia is going to go today. My category for you all, as the season is not fully over, but I thought right now it still worked for what I wanted to do. And the Seattle Mariners, over the course of this season, have had 25 total series wins over the course of the season. Now, I'm not going to say which teams had it or how many teams have done this, but you guys will be able to go one by one and name a team that they have won a series against. Why I bring up the Fruits of Doom bit is that there are some teams that have lost multiple series to the Mariners. And you can say a team that has already been said. However, you can only say it up until the number of times that they have lost to the Mariners in a series at this point. So, like, let's say, for example, I'm just going to throw a team that they didn't even play against this year. Let's say did they beat the Brewers this year? I don't think they played the Brewers. Yeah. If let's say they beat the Brewers in two different series this year. If Max said Brewers, then Splash said Brewers. Max could not say Brewers again, because if he did, that would be the strike. And by the way, three strikes are out this time, not just one. So there are a total of 25 series wins so far for the Seattle Mariners this year. Do you guys understand the rules of how this is going to work? All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, Splash, are you all good on everything?
Yep.
Cool. All right, so I am going to flip a coin here. So I'm going to flip my earbuds case, actually. And Mac, you're going to be heads, Splash, you're tails, and you guys will get to pick if you want to go first or second. All right? So here we go. It is tails. So, what would you like, first or second?
I would like defense, please. So, give me number two.
All right. So, I have a list with me right now that I made earlier today of every single series win this year for the Seattle Mariners and how many times it has happened. And the specific dates, to even be fair on that, too. So, Mac, you get the first go through. Please name a team.
Too easy, because I was there for it, the Mets.
The Mets are correct.
Yep.
The Mets
2-3 at Citi Field. You're there. I was at the series finale.
From 5-13, they're there from the 5-13 to 5-15 series.
The first series the Mets had lost all year.
All right, so that one is completely done. It's like that one is done for. All right, Splash, you're up.
The Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I had a feeling this was going to happen. You guys are just going to get this one out of the way first. I'm very okay with this. From 9-9 to 9-11. So I make sure again, never forget. But that is correct as well. All right. We're down to 23. Mac, you're on next.
Cleveland Guardians.
That is correct. 8-25 to 8-28.
The New York Yankees.
New York Yankees is correct. 8-1 to 8-3 series.
The New York Yankees again.
New York Yankees again is correct from 8-8 to 8-10.
The Chicago White Sox.
That is incorrect. That is your first strike. So we already have one strike for Splash. All right, Mac. Cleveland Guardians again is correct. 9-2 to 9-4 series. Splash, you're up.
The Minnesota Twins.
The Minnesota Twins is incorrect again. So you're at two strikes already, Splash. Mac, a dominating lead at the moment. But it is your pick once more.
Okay. The Los Angeles Angels.
Los Angeles Angels is correct. 624 to 626. Splash.
The Los Angeles Angels the second time.
The second time is correct. 815, 817. The next series win. Mac.
The Houston Astros.
Houston Astros is correct. 4-7, it's like 415 to 417. Beginning of the season.
The Oakland A's.
Oakland A's is correct. 621 to 623 series.
The Oakland A's again.
Oakland A's again is correct. 630 to 73.
Oakland A's for the third time.
Oakland A's for the third time. Also, my personal favorite one is that had the 9-32-10-2, including the overall win. That's clinching the series. All right, Mac.
San Diego Padres.
San Diego is correct. 7-4 to 7-6 series.
Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers is correct. 4-19 to 4-21. I'm giving you also a little bit of hints by saying the dates as well, just so you I can also be fact-checked later on.
Texas Rangers again.
Texas Rangers again is correct. 6-3 to 6-5.
Texas Rangers for a third time.
Texas Rangers for a third time is correct. 7-14 to 7-17.
Texas Rangers again.
Texas Rangers again is correct. 7-25 to 7-27. It's really fun just to say Texas Rangers after they spent half $1 billion in the offseason. Anyway, had to throw a little jab in there. Splash.
Okay. The Detroit Tigers.
Detroit is correct. 8-30 to 9-1 series.
Okay. The Toronto Blue Jays.
Toronto Blue Jays is correct. 7-7 to 7-10 series. So a quick before you go for just to let you know here so far, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We only have 7 more series left. Splash is your call.
The Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore Orioles is correct. The 531 to 6-2 series.
Boy, this is tough all of a sudden. I'm trying to think of all the teams they've faced. The Washington Nationals.
Washington Nationals is correct. The 7-13 doubleheader.
Baltimore Orioles again.
Baltimore Orioles again is correct. The 627 to 629 series.
So we have, what, 5 more now?
Yes, you have a grand total of 1, 2. Actually, no, you only have 4 left now.
4 left, huh. Okay, I'm trying to think of all
right
the
now,
teams.
Mac, you have a dominating lead of 2 strikes right now. So, yeah, still possible to lose it. But
I'm aware of that. I'm trying to think back on who they faced this year. Just, you know, looking. Obviously, they all the teams in the AL. No, not that one. Man, this is difficult. I will say this is more difficult than I thought. I know it didn't happen recently, but I believe this is correct. The Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals is correct. 422 to 424 series. All right, Splash.
All right, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Nitty gritty time. Tampa Bay Rays. That is your third strike.
Oh.
So, Mac.
Dang.
Do you want to take a stab at one more to see if you can seal the deal? You've already won, yes. But I want to see if you can put with a little bit of authority.
So what? There's what? three left?
There are three left.
Boy, I'm not going to lie, the Rays were my next guess, so I'm glad I didn't guess the Rays. Man, okay, I have to think back on the teams that he faced, like, really. Because I know they also had that rough beginning of the year, so, like, that eliminates a lot of teams, I feel like. Man, okay. So, man, this is a... This is difficult. So I'm thinking, all right, the National League teams, we've already covered all the National League teams they've faced and that they've beaten, at least. American League, let's see. I'll go. Okay, no, we already did. Wow. I feel like I should be able to answer this. That's the thing.
It's fine. I understand. It's fairly this is a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. But
you guys did go through, you know, so far right now, you've gone through, what, 22 series so far?
I'm going to guess there was another A's one in there.
There was not another
A's. Oh, what?
So, I'll just tell you again, guys, right now, there are three left. Both of them are within the AL West.
What?
They beat Texas one more time, the 927 and 929, for a total of 5 series win against Texas. And no one remembers this, but the last two were both the Houston Astros. 527 to 529 and 6-6 to 6-8.
Series. Yeah, I don't remember them winning more than one series against Houston.
Oh, no, they actually were really good against Houston in the first half of the series, first half of the season. It was the second half that kind of felt, they kind of felt bad against them. But, no, yeah, so the winner of this week's trivia is Matthias Altman Kurosaki with a clean 3-0 sweep, except for that little punch land variant there. Guys, how'd you feel about that trade? Did you feel pretty good about that?
It was difficult, I will say.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, you can get some, there's some layups. I think that makes for good trivia. You know, you have a couple layups, but a couple like Houston three times. I don't know if we're going to get. So I think it was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have we all won a round? Because I won the Mariners. I've won the first Mariners one. The Mac one today. Did Mac win the Ward one?
Yeah, Mac won the Ward one. I have yet to win one yet.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'm good at writing trivia, not doing trivia.
And I'm guessing you're not going to be able to win your own trivia next week.
I mean, yeah, because I have another trivia I wanted to do. spoiler alert, I'm going to be hosting again next week because I have one more trivia that while I was making this and I was already done, I'm like, oh, that would have been a really cool idea. So I will be doing it next week.
Also, shout out to Javi Baez, who finally can hit baseball.
Against Seattle.
Yeah. Did you guys see the clip of Sister Jean striking out Javi Baez?
Yes, that was so good.
That was kind of dirty, man.
That was so mean, but it's so good.
Correct.
Now, to be fair, that was really well edited. I'm going to be real. That was really good. But no, yeah, I just sent you guys mostly in the group chat. We'll talk about it later, but it was of TV Trumpets not playing Narco, playing something else at a Mets game. But regardless, that is going to be the end of our show today. We are at about an hour now. Fellas, any last words here we have here before we leave the fine people for today?
Go Braves.
Not bad. I will say that I am looking forward. I am looking forward to the playoffs this week. Man, I'd be looking forward to it even more if the Mets had you know, performed the way they did this weekend. But I hope this week goes better than last week did, at least especially in the sports world. I will say that much. And I you know, it is what it is, I guess. I think the Mets are still a good team. I think the Braves are a good team. I'm just curious to see. I think one of these teams is going to beat the Dodgers, I will say. So, yeah, stay tuned. I think we'll be doing some postseason predictions later this week. So keep lookout for that.
Before I'm done, I have two Mariners to shout out real quick. The first one of them being Matthew Boyd, who was a Mariner fan growing up. He's about the same age I am. And to see that when he was interviewed talking about making the playoffs, he burst into tears talking about it, saying that this was his home team. This was his home team when he was growing up and the team that he always wanted to play for and to help end the drought. He said he was inspired by players like Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, Jay Buhner, all those guys. And just finally see that he was part of that kind of echelon that was really big for him. Second one is just your daily reminder that Sam Haggerty is really good at baseball and will be a savior for the team come playoff time. Also, I guess a third one, shout out to Big Dumper, because you can never have enough praise for the Big Dumper. But that's our podcast for today. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in. Make sure you go follow Mac on social media at Matthias_A_K. Make sure you go follow Splash at Mr. Splashman 19. And then you can go follow me on Twitter at TheSportsGuy242. But for all of us here at Cheap Seats Chatter, my name is Alex. I have been your host for today's podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe out there and hope to see you all real soon. Thank you.